Hi, and welcome back to Season 4, Episode 2 of the Fat Doctor Podcast. I'm Dr. Asha Lamy. You can call me Asha, unless you're a troll, in which case you can call me Dr. Lamy. I am excited to be answering my first of many questions, I hope, in this episode. This one comes courtesy of one of my wonderful waiting room members. I've known her for quite some time now. She's done a couple of my courses and she's brilliant. And she has asked a question about channeling anger into activism. So that's what we're going to entitle this podcast episode. As usual, I'm literally just going to press record and hope for the best. I do have some notes, but I may go off them, you know. Who knows? Who knows how this is going to turn out? We'll see. Without further ado, let's get into it. Channeling anger into activism. I just read it because she posted it in our membership group, and I was like, this is epic. Like, I have to talk about this. Like, this is really speaking to some part of me. And the first thing I thought about was anger and the emotion anger, which is a very healthy emotion. I think a lot of people think that anger is an unhealthy emotion. There's no such thing as an unhealthy emotion. Sometimes our emotions can be expressed in an unhealthy way, for want of a better word, but it's not an unhealthy emotion. In fact, it's a very protective emotion, if you think about it. Anger is something that sort of says you are being treated unfairly. That's the message that anger is sending us, right? You're being treated unfairly here, and as a result, you're reacting. And that's why whenever I think about activism and anger, I think, you know, they do really go together, don't they? Because activism is, I suppose, the inevitable reaction when you're being treated unfairly. You know, you can, you know, what do you do when you're being treated unfairly? You can scream and shout and you can call people names and you can get cross and you can throw things and you can throw a punch and you can do all sorts of things when you're angry. And some of those things, all of those things are understandable. Some of those things are illegal. And, you know, it's helpful to find healthy ways. I think I'm going to use the word healthy, although health has a very iffy connotation with me. But anyway, I'm going to use that word, healthy ways to channel that anger. So you are being treated unfairly. You experience anger as an emotion and you want to find a way to channel that into something positive. And I guess that's what activism is. And we are being treated unfairly. If you listen to my last episode, you will have heard me said that until or unless you can prove that there is a safe and effective way to shrink my body, which there isn't, and there is no proof, until you can show me that shrinking my body, the benefits outweigh the risks, which they don't, the risks far outweigh the benefits, then I'm going to stay fat. And whether or not you think it's my fault that I'm fat is irrelevant, because I am fat. I am a fat person that exists in the world, and there is nothing that I can do about it, and there's nothing that anyone else can do about it. Punishing me for it is completely and utterly unfair. I am being treated unfairly. It doesn't matter whether or not you blame me. In the same way that, like, you know, some people think it's my choice to be queer, it's my choice to be trans. It's not. I hope you know that's not the case. I know that's not the case, but some people think it's the case. But their opinion is irrelevant, because I am queer, I am trans, and I am fat, and I am entitled to the same basic human rights as everybody else, as every thin person, as every cisgender person, as every heterosexual person. Just because there's more of you than there are of me doesn't mean that I'm not entitled to the same basic rights as you are. And by you, I'm talking to not you personally. Don't get offended. Sometimes I say you just because I'm angry. not angry at you personally. Don't get upset. Anyway, so I think this kind of unfair treatment should be stirring up anger in us. And I imagine it stirs up a lot of other emotions in people too. For me, for a lot of the time, you know, there was guilt, there was shame, there was embarrassment, there was fear, sadness, rejection, all of, you know, I feel a lot of things, and I have felt in the past a lot of things about being fat. And I've been working through those. But the one that I don't think is ever going to change is anger. Like I'm never going to stop being angry about the fact that I'm being treated unfairly. So until I am treated fairly, I'm going to keep being angry. And so this question seems like a really excellent one. How do we channel that anger into activism? And then I guess activism is quite a big word. It's a word that I use quite often without ever really thinking about the meaning of it. It's like health, right? For a long time, I just say health. And then one day I asked myself, what does that mean? Then I did an entire series of my podcast about it. And it turns out no one really knows. So activism, I looked it up, actually did some notes, did some preparation for this podcast, and I looked it up, and one definition was vigorous campaigning so as to bring about social or political change. Vigorous. I like that word. Vigorous. It's like moist. You either like it or you don't like it. Vigorous campaigning to bring about social and political change. So there are other definitions as well. One of them noted that change that we're trying to bring about is often a controversial issue. So, yeah, we can definitely tick that box. Another definition used the phrase direct and noticeable action. Direct and noticeable. So I don't know how useful definitions are, but it's given us a little bit of a framework to kind of to think about things, or giving me a framework anyway, because I now have to talk about it for the next, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, completely unscripted. Let's see how this goes. So I should start by saying I'm not an expert. Like, I haven't been doing activism for very long. For those of you who know me and know my story, in 2020, at the beginning of 2020, so that was 4 years ago, I was just about to embark on probably one of the most strict diets I've ever been on. I was just about to lose a ton of weight. And I was completely and utterly devoted to weight normative care and to diet culture. And I have been since I was first put on a diet when I was a kid. So I'm very new to activism. I went from sort of becoming the fat doctor. Ironically, I chose the name the fat doctor because I thought I was going to become thin, and then everyone would think it was a bit cute and tongue in cheek that I used to be fat. Like, that was the whole point of becoming the fat doctor. I had no idea what I was doing. God, I was a complete asshole. When I look back, I'm like, ugh, I make myself ill. I hate 2020 me. I don't hate 2020 me, that's not true. But I am angry at 2020 me and everything I stood for. Anyway, so I started the Fat Doctor. I started off with a blog, and it was a weight loss blog. And that was like May, June 2020. So that was only 3.5 years ago. And then I, towards the end of 2020, started to learn that diets didn't work and began my divorce proceedings with diet culture. And in the beginning of 2021, I started to embrace intuitive eating. I was very fortunate that my friend Jeanette, who is the Mindset Nutritionist, offered me a place on her intuitive eating course, which I did. And I learned so much about myself. And it was a real breakthrough for me. And to be fair, the ground had been laid for a long time. Like, the seeds had been planted for many years before that, that, you know, I had been working on myself. It didn't just happen spontaneously. But I went from being like pro-diet culture to anti-diet culture pretty quickly. And then started to learn about weight stigma, start to learn about medical weight stigma, and start to think, I probably ought to do something about this because I am a doctor and I'm fat. I'm in fact the fat doctor. Oh, that worked out well. And I should probably do something about this. And so here we are now. We'll be sort of Well, I got on national television beginning of 2021. It was February 2021. And it all spiralled from there. So I would say middle of 2021 was when I began slowly entering the kind of fat activism space. It's the beginning of 2024. I have not been doing this for very long. I therefore do not think that I am best placed to answer the question. Well, I'm certainly not the expert. Let's put it that way. I can answer the question by answering, this is what I've learned about fat activism in the very short period of time that I've been doing it. So some of the things that I've done are mistakes, which I'll be honest about in this podcast. So learn from my mistakes. Some of them are, you know, good things, I think, that I've learned and I certainly practice now. The first thing that I wrote down was the most important, I think, part of activism is to listen and to learn. There is so much that has been done already. People have been doing this for decades, at the very least. Fat activism intersects with anti-racism activism. It intersects with disability activism. It intersects with really most forms of social justice activism, actually, especially anti-racist and disability justice. So you got to listen to a lot of people and not just fat activists, but ideally fat people in these communities. And there are loads, and I'm not going to list them all on this podcast episode. I hope you know who they are. If you want a clue, you can go and look at my Instagram page and look at who I'm following, because I generally tend to follow a lot of people who are doing work in this space. And I tend to choose people who have multiple marginalised identities. So if I'm going to listen to someone, at the end of the day, I only have a certain amount of time to learn, right? To listen and learn. So if I'm going to listen and learn, I'd rather listen and learn from someone that holds multiple marginalised identities, because these are the people with the fewest blind spots. For those of you, I mean, most of us who drive know what a blind spot is, right? When you're in a car, you can see everything that's in front of you. You can see quite a bit of things behind you, but there is one part of the car that you can't see at all, and it's called your blind spot. And if you're privileged like I am, you have lots of these. There are lots of things you don't know what you don't know, and there are many spots like this. But the more marginalised identities you hold, the more you see things, because you're experiencing them yourself in your own life. So if you want to learn about, you know, fat liberation and how to channel this anger that you have about being treated unfairly, how to channel that into activism, don't just listen and learn. Listen and learn to the people who have the fewest blind spots, the fewest who have their eyes opened, who have the most experience of marginalization and oppression. They're going to be the best. And make sure you're not just learning about fat activism. Make sure you're learning about all the other forms of social justice as well, because they are equally as important. If you are pro, you know, if you're pro fat acceptance, but, you know, hate trans people, then there's a problem. Because if you're saying that somebody's are good and deserve, you know, certain treatment, but other bodies are quote unquote bad and don't deserve that treatment, then we have a problem. Because who are you to get to decide? Because if you can decide which bodies are good and which bodies are bad, then other people can decide which bodies are good and which bodies are bad. So that's not going to work. We have to believe that all bodies are good and all bodies deserve the same access to healthcare, to employment, to housing, to education, to whatever. So, you know, make sure you're invested in activism. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, especially if you're privileged. Nobody likes to hear that they're privileged, and nobody likes to have their eyes open to ways that they have been participating or have been complicit in harming other people. I don't like knowing that about myself, but it's true. I have been. I'm not disabled. So, I have been living in this kind of very privileged life, not having to cope with a disability. Cope, that's not a good word, but not having to cope with a society that hates disabled people is what I meant. And I have been complicit in that, in the harm that has been caught, been perpetrated against disabled people. So, yeah, I didn't like listening in the sense that I realised that, oh, gosh, wow, I've really been not been doing that well. And there have been times when I've been called out and called in. And those are two very different things. And I hate being called out. I don't mind being called in. Being called out sucks. And sometimes it was not done in a way. It was not done in a way that was particularly compassionate or curious or calm. And, it was done in quite a mean way. And I guess to some extent, that's reasonable. The person that's been harmed by me has every right to react the way that they want to react. And there's no denying that. But also all of us, we're all a bit messed up, right? Like we all have our damaged parts. We all have our broken parts and our cracked parts and our scarred parts. And so we're not perfect. We're not perfect all the time. Certainly, I'm certainly not perfect all the time. So I am guilty of A, not liking being called out and struggling with that. I am also guilty of calling people out or calling people in a way that perhaps wasn't as compassionate or kind as it could be. And all of those things are true at the same time. It's a process. We're living, we're learning, and hopefully, we get better is all I can say to that. But listening and learning is so important. In fact, it's the most important thing you could do. And I think what follows on from that is that you're not just listening and learning, but that you are beginning to follow activists and you are supporting them. And, one of the things I really struggle with is some people believe they are entitled to so much of my time and my energy without ever considering what they're asking of me. And I don't like that. I'll be honest, I don't like that. I understand why they're doing what they're doing, but I don't like it. If you are getting something from someone, it should be an exchange, shouldn't it? If someone's giving you their energy, then you should want to give that some energy back. And you can give energy back in lots of different ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be financial, although money is energy, and anyone who says it isn't is lying. Money is a form of energy. That's all it is. So if you have money, that is a form of energy that you can easily give back to somebody who is pouring out their energy into you. And it's a really helpful one because you're going to sustain that person so they can pay their bills, and that's great. But if you don't have money, you really don't have money, as opposed to you don't want to give your money away, which are two very separate things. But if you don't have money, there's lots of other ways that you can support people. And the thing about activism is it's a very lonely place. It's a very scary place. And it's also difficult because we're struggling in a colonialist supremacist world that is designed to stop us from pursuing our goals, for pursuing social and political change. Like, society is set up to stop us from changing, stop us from evolving, right? Nobody wants to let go of their power. The people in power don't want to let go of their power. So everything, whether it's the social media algorithms, whether it's, just anything and everything is set against us. And so another way that you can support other activists, which is where it all begins, your activism should begin with supporting other activists, is to sort of like try to help them. Like, so just even a like and a thumbs up in the comments will help the social media algorithm to put that message out there so that the people who do have the money, for example, will purchase the thing that the person, the activist is doing, and so that activist can pay their bills that month. And so, everybody has a role to play. And that kind of brings me into my next thing, which is like, recognize your strength and your talents and your capabilities. Where are you at right now? Like, if you're working three jobs, you probably don't have that much time to devote to activism, but maybe you have the money to devote to activism. So maybe your role right now is supporting financially, or maybe it's the other way around. You don't have the money, but you have the time. So maybe you think, okay, well, I'm really good at, I don't know, pick a thing that you're really good at. That's what I want to give. And once you recognize what it is that you have to give, And not just what you have, but also what you like doing, what appeals to you, what excites you, because activism is sometimes draining, right? And so there are certain things that I do on a daily basis that I can't stand doing. And I would love someone to take over for me, because not suggesting that I want people to volunteer to do these things, but just like, you know, there are parts that I just think, oh, I wish I didn't have to do this. But there's probably people out there that just like, oh man, that would be delightful. I'd love to do that. So we are one big community of fat people. Knowing what you have to offer is really important. So I said, listen and learn. Don't just be like, right, okay, here we go. I'm going to be an activist. Like, you're the first person to have thought of this. No, people have been doing it for a long time. So, and I, you know, I'm a very eager, enthusiastic person that's full of ideas and like, yeah, let's go. I made the mistake of kind of being like, come on, people, and realizing, oh, slow down, Asha. People have been doing this for some time. It's quite a humbling experience when you're like, yeah, this has all been done already. I just need to jump on and support and be like, hey, I'm here, another person to add to the collection, to the collective. Follow activists, make sure that you're supporting them. Don't just take, give as well. Otherwise, you're a bit of an asshole. I'm sorry to say it. And I know that it might be that you're not in a place that you can give that much, but give something. You know, and again, I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about something, some form of energy. Don't just take energy and give nothing in return. And I'm sick of hearing like, oh, well, people who need your support are the most marginalized. Therefore, you can't ask anything from them. Sure, but I'm also marginalized, not the most marginalized, but I am. And a lot of activists, you will notice, are marginalized. They often have more than one marginalized identity, and they're often facing multiple forms of oppression. And by the very nature of activism, I think, you know, often we've got legal issues, or, you know, we're getting arrested for protesting, or, you know, we're doing the work that we want to do, but we can't afford to keep the electricity on or whatever. So, yeah, a lot of people who are actually quite visible activists, you know, actually in the activism space, and that's kind of the primary thing that they do with their life. Yeah, they don't have it easy. So stop thinking for one second that they do. Right. So the next thing I will say is being community. I think this is so important. And over the last couple of years, I have been introduced to astrology, and I'm learning much more about, I'm trying to connect to the world around me in different ways. And one of those ways is through astrology. And I had my solar return chart read at my last birthday. And everything was kind of in my like 11th house, 12th house, 10th house. Like a lot of the stuff that came up for me was about building community, building relationships. Community, relationships. It just kept coming up over and over and over again. I've spent the latter part of last year, and certainly will the beginning of this year, devoting myself primarily to community, to building community, because I personally believe that's the best way to be an activist, is through a community, with a community. And yeah, I'm going to plug my community. Of course I am. Why wouldn't I? The Waiting Room, we're on Discord, and I'm fucking loving it. I absolutely love it. Like, the people who are showing up are all brilliant people. And I can see a lot of us have a real passion for activism. And, you know, that's how it starts, organically, grassroots stuff, you know. Sure, I'm all for like political activism, I'm all for petitions, and I'll sign a petition. You got a petition, I'll sign it, I'll share it on my social media. But there's something about communities coming together with one shared goal, one shared purpose, and then just seeing what happens, rather than doing it in the kind of traditional, I'm just going to say, white supremacist way that, you know, that we've been taught to do things. Like, this is how we do this, and this is how we do activism. No, there is no set way to do activism. So I'm all for community. And then I guess the next thing I think is like a really big one, and I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to everyone else, which is about, you got to avoid centering yourself, and you got to avoid the temptation to take credit. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, every human being is tempted to take credit for things and wants recognition. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have recognition. I think that we absolutely should be recognising the people who go above and beyond. That work shouldn't go unnoticed. I think we have a responsibility to recognise other people, but not to push for our own recognition. If we're in community, we should be recognising each other. I hope that I make my community, I make sure that my community feels like I appreciate them, I recognise them, I thank them for the things that they're doing. And if I'm not doing that, then they better call me out, because I should be doing that. I just realised I haven't turned my light on. So for those of you watching the video, very shadowy. Oh, that's so much better. Now I've lost my train of thought. But yes, when you're trying to take credit for things, you are going to end up making mistakes. You're going to end up harming other people. That's just inevitable. So just don't do it, is my advice. And centering yourself. Oh, again, human nature. We tend to center ourselves. But when you center yourself, you are going to cause a lot of damage to a lot of people. Don't do that. Well, okay. The last thing I want to talk about, I think, is about us. Because so far I've been talking about activism, like, you know, you've got this anger, this righteous anger. You want to, you know, because you've been treated unfairly and the people around you are being treated unfairly and you're sick and tired of that and you want to do something about it. And so you're like, right, let's get into fat activism. But we haven't really been thinking about ourselves, and we should always be thinking about ourselves, because no one else is going to be thinking about us, right? I'm not talking about recognising us. That's one thing. I'm talking about thinking and prioritising our needs and our safety and well-being and health and all of that stuff. So before you really start kind of walking the walk, talking the talk, doing the thing, I think it's really important to check in with yourself and be like, am I in a good place right now? What is the overriding kind of life force that's driving me right now? Am I being driven by fear? Am I being driven by desperation? Am I, you know, emotionally not in a great place? Am I already exhausted? Am I burnt out? Am I looking for a distraction? Is this my way of trying to avoid facing up to other things? Like, what, you know, what's driving me right now? And be honest with yourself, because you're the only one that's going to suffer, right? Like, no one else needs to know. It's just you. I think there have been times that I have been doing activism from the wrong place. That's the truth. Whether it's for recognition, whether it's for... a lot of the time, I think it was because I was in a lot of pain. I had gone through two or three very painful years where my life basically got turned upside down. And doing activism felt like, well, the rest of my life has gone to shit, but at least I'm doing this, you know? And it also felt like it gave me a purpose when I felt like my purpose was being taken away from me. My identity was being taken away from me. Things were happening in my life that just were kind of really sort of shaking the foundations. So there were times definitely in the last few years that I was doing activism for the wrong reason. And that's not a bad, I mean, I was still doing a good thing, right? Like it wasn't like people were still benefiting from my work, but I was harming myself. That's not to say you shouldn't be doing activism during those times, but like at least be honest with yourself and at least be trying to, you know, deal with the underlying stuff as well, because otherwise you're going to burn out, or you're going to make mistakes, or you're going to turn into a monster. And we've all seen it, right? We've all seen people who started out and we were like, this person is great, and then you're like, what the fuck happened to this person? They have completely lost it. I imagine it's because they started out with all the right intentions, but there was all this stuff going on inside that was just getting ignored. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's my advice. you want to have compassion and if you don't have compassion, if you're lacking the ability to evoke compassion for yourself and or for other people, then you're probably not in a good place to do activism. Take a step back. There's lots of reasons why we develop compassion fatigue. Compassion is so important. It comes from your core, the part of yourself. There's a part of yourself that is able to be rational and reasonable and calm and clear and compassionate and considerate. That part of yourself sometimes can be quite loud, and it's great because it, you know, and it's not always going to be loud because there's going to be times when, you know, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. But if you can't hear that part of yourself, or it's really, really quiet, or you're really struggling to get in touch with that part of yourself, take a step back. It's okay. The issues will still be there when you're ready to do it. But yeah, I think compassion fatigue, be aware of that. And also, you also have to come to from a place of curiosity. That's another thing. That's not to say that I always do this, by the way. Like, right, this is what I'm learning, not what I have learned. But I'm learning that, you know, curiosity is a much better place to come from when you're approaching activism. Instead of saying it's my way or the highway, instead of saying I'm right, you're wrong, it's like, what exactly are you talking about? You know, like, where are you coming from? And some people are assholes. Please, some people are trolls, some people are malicious, some people are deliberately attacking you. I'm not saying that you need to be nice to these people, because self-compassion, people. If someone's harming you, block them, done, finished, delete. But sometimes, you know, when someone is, I don't know, calling you in or has a different point of view to you, it's good to approach that with curiosity. That's not to say that you have to agree with them, but it's that you have to at least be a little bit curious about them. And that also goes for yourself. Be a little bit curious about yourself. Constantly be willing to unpick things and to be devoted to self-discovery. If you're planning on enforcing, no, what was it? Vigorously campaigning for social and political change. If that's what you want to do, to vigorously campaign for social and political change, well, first of all, you have to have the energy, because vigorous requires energy. But also, you got to know, be confident in your heart that you're changing in the right direction, right? Like, that it's a positive thing, that you're not actually creating more problems. And so, yeah, you've got to be curious. You've got to be questioning. You've got to be constantly asking yourself, am I on the right track here? Oh, could this person be right? And again, you need a community to be able to talk about this stuff with. You need your trusted friends that you can go to and be like, am I the asshole? You have to be able to admit when you are. You need friends who are going to tell you when you are, by the way. So I think these are all like things that I'm, learning, not have learned. And I hope that's been helpful. But in terms of like practical now, like if you want to dip your toe into the pool of fat activism, rather like I've been doing, I think I'm ankle deep by now. I don't think it's toes anymore. I think I would like to say I'm ankle deep. Yeah, what can you do? Definitely be listening and learning. I am going to plug Reagan Chastain. There is nobody that I'm aware of that is putting out more incredible information as Reagan. There are lots of other amazing people, but like Reagan is just, I can't get over her, really. It's partly because I was up until quite late last night talking to her for about 2.5 hours, and I just can't get over her. She's the coolest person ever. So she has a Substack, Weight and Healthcare is the title. Weight and Healthcare? I might have got that wrong now, and I feel really embarrassed. I read it, you know, twice a week at least, so I don't know why I haven't, but it's her Substack. It's brilliant. Please sign up and please support her financially. You don't have to give much, but you should be supporting her financially. So that is a fantastic newsletter. I cannot recommend enough. There are lots of incredible black activists out there. Please be following all of them. I can't possibly mention them all now, and I'll forget some and then I'll be really embarrassed. But please, please, please be following all of them. Please make sure that you have even if you haven't read Fearing the Black Body by Sabrina Strings, it's a difficult book to read. I will acknowledge that it's not an easy book to read, but even if you haven't, please make sure you understand what's going on in that book. And Belly of the Beast by Deshaun Harrison is actually, I would say, quite an easy read. I think you can read that in a day, or it's quite short and to the point. Not short like, oh, that's not much. It's great, but you know what I mean. I find it very easy to read. And Jessica Wilson's book, It's Always Been Ours, is a hilarious read. Please read that because you will laugh out loud. Make sure you've read those. I feel like those are essential texts, and there are others, but I would say that if you're going to pick three, those are the ones that I would recommend. I really love Fatally Ever After by Stephanie Yeboah as well. Trying to think what other books that I've read, but if you're not a book person, listen to some podcasts. If you're not a podcast person, then you're probably not listening. But there are some brilliant podcasts out there, so yeah, listen and learn. And find yourself a community and get active in that community. And once you're active in that community, I think what will happen is you will automatically find yourself being drawn into projects, or, you know, hearing about stuff and thinking, ooh, that I could do, that I can do, that I can do. Use any influence you have. If you're like, I only have 50 followers on whatever social media channel, there's no point in me sharing this nonsense. It's not about numbers. It's never been about numbers. Those 50 people who follow you, if they're 50 people who care about you and actually genuinely interested in you, then you probably have more reach than people who have like thousands of followers. Because, you know, oftentimes, like, we follow so many people, we're not paying attention to them. We're paying attention to the people we care about. The ones we care about are coming up on our feed every time. We look at their stories because we're interested in them. So I don't care how many followers you have, doesn't matter. If you have some social media access, please, please, please share everything that you can. Spread the word. Include the links. I mean, like, that's not that difficult. I know it's a couple of extra steps, but if someone's offering something and you can go and copy and paste that link into your stories on Instagram or whatever, then you have done such a service to that activist. You have no idea how grateful that activist will be. I certainly could not thank you enough just for sharing my stuff. I don't even need you, like, I don't need to know you've done it. I'm not, you know, you don't need to tag me or anything, but just the fact that you're doing it, that is incredible. So please support in small but very meaningful ways. Your voice is never too small, even if you're talking about fat activism or something that you read or something that you saw, even if you're only talking about it to two or three people and you think, well, what difference does that make? Nonsense. If everybody talks about it to two or three people, we're reaching a lot of people, especially if those two or three people listen and go, oh, wow. And they go on and share it with other people, right? So the connections that we make in real life, I think, are the most important connections that we have. However you make those connections, they're the most important ones. So if you want to start your vigorous campaign, just start talking about it with the people that you care about. And that is the beginning of activism. That's how my activism started. If you want to do stuff on social media, or you want to start a blog or Substack of your own, like, do it. I'm all for that. Like, there's enough space. Let's not get into this whole, like, this is my territory, don't be muscling in on it nonsense. The fat activism space is big enough for all of us. So if that's your thing, if that's your jam and you really want to do it, do it. And let me know and I will absolutely support you. But don't feel like you have to do it, because it's not the only way, right? Like, we're not all the same. And so whatever you're really good at, do that. Cool. I think that's the end. I'm going to end it there. Hope that's been helpful. I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about next week because I'm waiting for someone to ask me a question. Please do. In the meantime, did you know that you can book a consultation with me? And I have to say, it's quite good. Not to brag or anything, but booking a consultation with me is actually quite life-changing for people. Because there are people out there that have literally never spoken to a doctor before who genuinely gives a shit about them. A doctor who is going to do the exact opposite of what most other doctors do. And that's not to say that my treatment is different, because I'm not. It's not to say that my diagnosis is different, because it's not. I'm quite a thorough diagnostician. And I'm also one of these people who kind of like doing diagnoses just by listening. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we can diagnose most people just by listening. Even though I can't do examinations and investigations, listening gives me a lot of clues, and I have quite a few clients that have come to see me and they've started talking and I'm like, yeah, I know what's wrong. And I'll write it down on the top of a piece of paper, and at the end of the consultation, be like, oh, you know, have you considered this? Have you considered that? And then they'll come back to me and like just be like, you know, 2 weeks later, oh, you were right. I'm like, yeah. And this is often the case with people who have complex histories, especially if the kind of person that has like been to lots of different specialists and no one really knows what's going on. It's really difficult. I am like, you know, diagnosed EDS quite a few times. I've diagnosed a few sort of autoimmune conditions and things like that, things that often get missed. So if you're looking for kind of someone to support you, I'm not acting in my capacity as a doctor because I'm not a doctor anymore. I mean, I am a medical doctor, but I'm not a practicing medical doctor. That's a podcast for another day. But that doesn't mean I'm not a diagnostician. So I'm there to support you. But of course, at the end of the day, whatever ends up happening, you need to deal with your own physician as well. But I'm here to help you. I'm here to advocate for you. And I'm also just here to listen. I'm here to help you to process medical trauma. And I've been doing a lot of work on that to support other people. I'm not a therapist. I'm never going to be a therapist. But I do support people through processing medical trauma and talking about medical trauma because we don't talk about it enough. So, did you know you can book a consultation with me? Just go to my website and click on consultation and then you can book it just like that. And you just book directly into my calendar. And if you can't find a date that suits you, just let me know. And coming up in the near future, don't have any spaces at the moment, but I am relaunching my Take Your Power Back course. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's pretty epic. Again, not to brag, but it is pretty epic. I will give you more details as the weeks go by, but it's basically, I mean, it is exactly what it is. I want to help you take your power back when it comes to your healthcare journey. As a fat person, I understand what it's like to have no power, to feel like completely disempowered. And my goal is to get you feeling completely and utterly in control of your healthcare journey by the end of this course. I believe that it's possible. I've seen it happen. A lot of people who have been on the previous courses have said, I am a different person now because I've done this course. So keep a lookout. And if you want to be part of the course, like, you can register your interest because there's only a few places. I like to keep it small so that I can give you the attention that you deserve. So if you're interested, again, you can find that on my website. And don't forget, the waiting room is very punny because it's spelled W-E-I-G-H-T-I-N-G. Waiting room, get it? But it's a waiting room, like a doctor. No, you get it. I don't have to explain that. Anyway, I'm really loving Discord. My children very unhappy that I have dared to move onto Discord because that's where the cool kids hang out. That's where the gamers hang out, not where middle-aged, fat, queer, trans activists hang out. And I'm like, Discord is big enough for the both of us. You stay on your corner, I'll stay on my corner. We will not meet in the middle, but it is actually really cool. And if you have teenagers, it's a great way to piss them off. So join me in the waiting room. Come back next week and ask me a question. Ask me anything and I promise you I will try and answer it. I'm not sure if I answered this one, but we'll soon find out. See you in the next one. We'll be right back.